Amen. And it's a blessing. Thank you, Garrett, for that. Amen. And I want to share some thoughts with you tonight from the Word of God. We're going to read again in the Word of God tonight. 1 Kings chapter 17. By the way, don't forget to tell Brother Garrett how much you enjoyed that. And he didn't know this, but this is going to be on sermon audio too. So, you know, everybody will be able to see it. So make sure you have your cell phone turned on. People will call you, you know, okay. All right. Amen. All right. All right. Let's read from 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm going to read the first seven verses. But let's have just a word of prayer before I read. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can come into your presence again. We can come with singing. We can come with praying. We can come with the Word of God. And Lord, how our hearts have been blessed tonight to hear Brother Garrett preach to us from the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you'd help this preacher to so let his light so shine that he would glorify and honor you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me day by day to be one that would let that light shine, that others would see Christ. And Father, I pray that everyone here would have the same challenge in our hearts, that we would let the world see Christ in us, that we can glorify and honor you. And Father, we'll praise you and thank you for what you do. And Lord, I pray now as we read the Word of God that you'd bless. And Father, I pray you'd help me now, Lord, that you'd fill me with your Spirit. Use these words for your honor and glory, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. All right, the Word of God says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it came, and it shall be, that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. I'm going to talk to you tonight preach to you tonight from these verses on Elijah, the man of God. Elijah, the man of God. This chapter suddenly introduces to us a man by the name of Elijah, one of the most remarkable personages and personalities in the whole of the Word of God. It is with great suddenness of as a flash of lightning that Elijah the prophet just comes on the scene. And this historical account is a very vivid importance to the child of God as we witness for Christ. He lived in an age of darkness. We certainly live in an age of darkness, do we not? He lived in an age of idolatry. And there are those around us today that worship and worship idols and bow before idols. But he lived in a time of great superstition as well. And to all appearance, the worship of the true God was forever gone. And by the way, there are those alive today that want to make that thing happen. Did you know that? There are those today that want to take God completely out of society. And by the way, I don't have time to get into this, but there are those afoot today who want to do things to make you nothing more than a robot, and those ahead of you nothing more than robots. and to take God completely out to where you wouldn't be worshiping God. There, as a matter of fact, there are some that says, one man was asked, do you believe in God? And he says, no, but there will be one day. In other words, when he gets through doing all that he does and doing all the inventions that he thinks of, that he will be a god, or man will be a god, or that the elites will be God. And so there, and lest I sound crazier than you really think I am, you ought to find out what's going on in the world. I'm going to throw some couple of words at you, and you'd maybe do some research. A couple of 3 years ago, I ran across this, and I thought, that's crazy, not true. But the word of transhumanism, you need to look at that. Transhumanism. And now listen, if you read enough of this, you're going to find, and that's not what this is about tonight, but I just, you know, as the Baptist preachers do, they get off on rest areas. So if you read enough of this, you'll find that there are great things in store for society from those who run things. And you'd be surprised at what is planned. The plan is to completely reprogram your brain and actually to make you a walking computer. Now, I can't get into any more than that. But if you want to talk to me about it later when we're not on the air, because we don't let everybody in the world know that how crazy your pastor is, this didn't just come up today or last week or whatever. This has been the works a long time. So at least since the Garden of Eden. Amen. Amen. So he lived in that age of darkness and idolatry and superstition. But and for all intents and purposes, at that time, the worship of God was gone. The worship of the true God. It's evident that at least Jezebel and Ahab and the false prophets at least thought so. They thought that God was gone. But behind every dark cloud, there's a living God. Aren't you glad of that? And now is the time had come for this great battle that must be fought between Jehovah and Baal. A great battle that must be fought between light and darkness. And a battle that must be fought between the truth, and the falsehood. And folks, we're right there today, by the way. And Elijah was the man for the time, and he was a bold messenger of God. May we be bold in our witness and testimony for the Lord, as Brother Garrett preached to us a few minutes ago, to be bold and tell the world what we believe and not be afraid of it. But what kind of man was Elijah? He emphatically is called the man of God. And he really was God's man. One of God's true nobility. God's representative on earth. May God help us to be his representatives on earth. Elijah believed in the living God. And he acted as though he was in God's presence all the time. Notice he said in verse 1 to Ahab, he said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. Do you realize every step you take, you're walking before the Lord God of Israel? You're walking before that God that's in heaven that Garrett spoke about earlier. This was the secret of his courage and his power. And I want to share with you just very briefly, and there again, the word briefly doesn't really mean a whole lot, except it just fills in space. But there are four characteristics that I'd like to point out to you that stand out about this man of God, Elijah. First of all, and these are very simple, and I'm sure you've heard some of these before, but as he was first a man of prayer, If you look in James chapter 5 and verse 17, the Word of God says that Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not upon the earth, or on the earth, by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He was a man of prayer. To be a man of God, or to be one that would be God's representative on earth, we should be people of prayer. The passage here in 1 Kings 17 gives us his first and sudden appearance in public. And then James, as we go back to the book of James again, I'll read those verses again, and I'll read verse 18. It says that he prayed again, and the earth and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So he was a man of prayer, and it tells us of an early history of his life, how he was a man of prayer. He was preeminently a man of prayer. That's what we find out about him. He was a man of prayer. He prayed with all his heart. He prayed that it might not rain, and that seemed strange, did it not? Extreme wickedness requires extreme remedy. But then again, I want you to notice Kings 17, 1 Kings 17, in 21 and 22, verse 21 and 22, he prayed and life came back into the soul of the widow's son. He was a man of prayer. The prayer of Elijah, that was one of his characteristics. Then again, in chapter 18, verse 37 and to 38, he prayed fire down from heaven to consume the sacrifice. And then, of course, we saw in verse 18 that he prayed again in the book of James, chapter 5. He prayed again, and the rain came, and the earth brought forth its fruit. So he was a man of prayer. Note the prayer God did not answer, though. If you'll turn to 1 Kings 19 and verse 4. It said, but he himself, speaking of Elijah, he said, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Now, I remind you, he had been in a great revival against and faced down the prophets of Baal, you remember, and a great, great stance he took. But then he asked God to die. Can you imagine that? Now, I don't believe he really wanted to die. If he really wanted to die, all he had to do was step outside and Jezebel would have obliged him. He didn't really want to die. But I've got to... Now, you've got to look... If you look at this, you find that Elijah had been probably exhausted with all of this. All the prayer and all this had when he'd faced down the prophets of Baal. And I've got to... A message that I preached along this line on how to have a successful nervous breakdown. And that's how, you know, he didn't get any rest. He didn't have any food. You know, he was fatigued, and he just said, I'm through with this. So that's a prayer that God did not answer. And why? God didn't answer that because God had something else for him. So we see in this whole experience of Elijah, we see, first of all, the importance of prayer. Take everything to God in prayer. Before we came out tonight, I prayed. Garrett and I prayed about his message tonight. Take everything to God in prayer. You know, we have a tendency, we want to handle the little things ourselves, but then take the big things to God. But no, we need to take, it's important we pray about everything. But then notice also the power of prayer. Prayer has the ability to shut heaven and to open heaven. And that's what happened in Elijah's case. Then, of course, the blessings of prayer, the blessings that you can be to others because you pray. Prayer is wants felt. Prayer is help desired. Prayer, and with prayers, the want felt and the help desired, with the faith to obtain that you want and that you desire. Prayer is our speaking to God, and reading the Word of God is Him speaking to us. You want God to speak to you, read the Word of God, and He'll speak to you. It's been said regarding James chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, and let's just read that for just very quickly before I give you this little quote. He says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It counts for much. It's been said that that it's not the arithmetic of our prayers, how many they are, nor the rhetoric of our prayers, how eloquent they may be, or the geometry of our prayers, how long they are, which God cares for, but the fervency, the sincerity, and the reality of our prayer. And he prayed fervently, remember. He was a man of fervent prayer. So the first thing, the first characteristic for Elijah we see in these verses is that he was a man of prayer. But then if we look again in our text, and in verse 3, let me read that. He says, get thee hence. Now, verse 2 says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. We see the path of Elijah. As we look at this, God had told him to do something. So first of all, the path of Elijah that he took that made him a man of God was that he was this path of prayer and obedience to God. He obeyed God. He did what God said. The obedient walk with God one step at a time as God directed. That's the secret to true service in the Lord or for the Lord. And in this path of light, in verse 2, it says, the word of the Lord came unto him. Remember what the Bible says, what the psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 105. He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the path that Elijah took was not only that path of prayer, but it was a path of obedience. He was willing to obey God. Secondly, it was a path of separation. There's a hidden life and path that all of God's people should know. To be safe from sin and danger and to learn the lessons of grace and to be equipped for special service. We must separate ourselves from the world. We cannot live like the world and then be a testimony. We just heard that from Garrett's message. That we have to, people look at us and we say we're Christians. They want to see that in us. And so there must be a path of separation. Notice what the Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17 and 18. He says, wherefore come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You know, it's not my choice. It's God's choice. He says, be ye separate. And today, people don't like to be told what to do. They want to do what they want. They don't want to do what God wants. But he says, thus saith the Lord God Almighty, or the Lord Almighty. He said, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. So it was a path of separation. And you know, the path of separation is not always easy. You know, I've found out that the path of separation is really, really difficult for young people and young adults. And there seems to be some years after that everything seems, as far as that is concerned, to be all right. But you know, later on in life, that separation is difficult for older people as well? It is. It's difficult. And so we have to be separate, saith the Lord. The Lord said it back then, and he says it now. Be coming out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And you see, this world needs to see those who are separate. See, if we're just like them, well, then what's the point? What's the point of being there? What's the point of coming to church if we're just like them? They want to see us different. You say you're different. You say you think different. You act. Well, I want to see that. And so it was a path of separation. But notice in verse 4 what the Word of God says. He had said, and God, this is what God said, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. It's also a path of promise. The Word of God tells us in the book of Mark, chapter 10 and verse 27, and Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but with God, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. You see, this didn't really make sense. You go over there and you hide yourself, and then I'm going to feed you with the ravens. Was it the raven that Noah sent out first? The dirty raven? And he didn't come back. But isn't it amazing? God used the raven, to feed Elijah. I don't know, maybe way back then, in Noah's day, he said, you go start gathering up stuff, ravens, you're going to have to feed Elijah one of these days. I don't know about that. But notice in verse 3, he said, and go ye, get thee hence, and turn eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. He says, so he went, in verse 5, notice it says, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. You see, obedience is the true secret to happiness. Obedience, obeying God. Now, and I found out that things went a lot better for me when I was growing up if I obeyed. You know, it just was so much easier. It was a whole lot easier to sit down when I obeyed. I got tired of standing up all the time, so I learned, you know, you can't keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. But obedience is the secret to true happiness. But then not only do we see, as far as Elijah, we see that the prayer of Elijah, we see the path of Elijah, but I want you to notice in these verses, verse 6, the provision of Elijah. It says, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Now, God undertakes to provide for his own, his people. The same God who sent the manna and the water to Israel sends the ravens to Elijah. The same God. God's word is to us. Notice what he said to us. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then the Apostle Peter says in chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. He careth for you. Notice the promise here refers not only to the means of the provision, but it refers to the place of provision. He said, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. There. Wherever you are, there. You see, he was in the will of God, so God would take care of him there. There is the most likely place. But the raven, there was the most unlikely place physically. But it's the most likely place in the will of God. But it was, notice, not only was the most unlikely place, the ravens were the most unlikely means by which God would supply his need. When God chooses a place, he's sure to command the provisions when he chooses the place. But then in verse 7, notice the patience of Elijah. Now you've got to see the picture here. He's been facing all that's been going on. He had to face Ahab. And God has told him now, you go hide yourself by the brook Cherith. And so the word of God here says that the ravens brought him flesh, meat and flesh, bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. But notice that it says also in verse 6, the last few verses, and he drank of the brook. But then in verse 7, we got a big problem. The brook dried up. For faith to be perfect, for faith to be perfected, it must be tested. James tells us again in James chapter 1 in verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised them that to them that love him. Now, don't you know? Well, I mean, we saw that later Elijah wanted to die, probably tired of bread and meat from the ravens. No water. The water of the brook dried up. You see, the patience of Elijah. He was still obedient to God. In all that was happening, he was still obedient to God. The Lord wants his servants not to trust his gifts, but to trust him. To trust him. Dry brooks, or brooks do dry up, but God gives life. Amen. And it came to pass that the brook dried up. Now, somebody has said that every school of faith lasts a given time. Remember, there's a place in 1 Peter, I think he says, and after you have suffered a while. You see, every school of faith, every testing that we go through lasts for a period of time. Whether it's long or short depends on God, but it always has a fixed time. God always provides severe tests, but patience is the power by which we come through those tests. The remedy for hard times is patience. Patience. I want to say to you folks, we live in a difficult time in society, don't we? But we have to live by grace through Christ, in Christ, and through faith with patience. We have to ask for God to give us patience. Now we know that the scripture tells us that tribulation worketh patience. But we still have to ask God for the patience, do we not? And that's what the Word of God does. Now, Elijah had patience to wait upon God's time. Tribulation is the school of patience. Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed. You see, I've never been ashamed that I put my hope and my trust in Christ. I've never been ashamed of that. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which God has given to us. But he goes on to tell us, he tells us in the Word of God, that our, when we have patience, that tribulation worketh patience. But he gives us patience as we, the Holy Ghost is shed abroad in our hearts. Now, I'm going to ask you tonight as we close, in this hour of darkness, and you know, let me just say this. If you think that a political party is your salvation, you're sadly mistaken, no matter what political party it may be. And so we have to be careful not to place our trust in that. Our trust and our faith is in our Lord Jesus Christ, in God Almighty, who is sovereign and has everything under control. But I'm going to ask you, in this hour of darkness in our country, are you trusting the Lord? You know, it's amazing to me how that the government has our minds on everything else. They have our minds, everybody's mind on COVID and vaccines and this, that, have people's minds on their 401ks and they have their minds on what's Russia going to do and what's all this that's happening. What's all of this? You see, folks, you got to remember, when all of that is going on, it's to get your mind on something else. But you need to remember, our mind should be on Christ. Our mind should be on God Almighty, because he still has everything under control. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm firmly convinced there are things coming down the road, probably within the next 2 to 3 years, that you're not going to believe that would ever happen in this country. And you need to do some research and find out really what's going on. And find out, and don't do it tonight, because if you do, you won't sleep tonight. But we live in a dark hour. Maybe you're in a personal trial. But be like Elijah. Pray and obey and trust God. That would be the intent of this message tonight, to trust him as Elijah trusted him. I mean, I could just imagine there you're hidden away by the brook. And this morning the ravens came and dropped some bread and they dropped some flesh down and I ate. And then the evening, here he comes again, he drops it. And then again he drops the bread and the meat, and that was good. The next morning Elijah gets up. And where are those ravens? Or maybe they dropped it. And he went to get a drink of water, and he found out during the night the brook dried up. How am I going to wash this stuff down? You see, he had to trust God completely. And folks, I'm going to tell you, the devil's trick is to get your mind on other things and get your mind off of trusting God. And we must trust him, come what will, come what may. We must trust him. Amen. Let's bow our heads.